Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Every Wednesday on the Low Blows Network, the Low Blows team are at hand to break down, analyze, and make fun of all things pro wrestling. Hosted by former pro wrestler Rick Nash.
I think the only reasonable thing we can do now is turn John Cena heel.
Selfie with me, fucking dog.
Banned from Nigeria. I will be talking to the government tomorrow.
YouTube star Corporate King.
This elephant has four legs. Joe Russell's four legs. Joseph Stalin, if he had two more legs.
Bone saw rips off his shirt, yeah? And it says, Chuck your law. Big dirty tricolor.
And the queen of Irish wrestling, Katie Harvey.
I won't want to say it. Just CM Punk.
So embarrassed. CM Punk.
It's Low Blows. Bravo!
The Joker movie starring Joaquin Phoenix got absolutely savaged during the week online and by critics after it received 11 nominations for the Academy Awards, which was a bit harsh because it's still the exact same movie. Like, whatever your opinion was shouldn't change based on like how many awards it got nominated for. It got nominated for awards such as Best Picture, Actor for Joaquin Phoenix, Director as well for Todd Phillips. Huge, obviously, accomplishment for a superhero movie. Like, personally, I feel Endgame was a bit robbed. Like, I think Avengers should have got something as well if we're going to go that route, but whatever. I still think the same about Joker because it's the exact same movie. But, guys, as we get kicked off here, on another edition of Low Blows, Rick Nash, Katie Harvey, and Corbin Keane in the house as always. Guys, what was the most undeserving award winner in wrestling that you can remember?
It's me. I've touched on this before, but I've told you about the boards.ie top 25 wrestlers of the year awards.
Yes.
In my debut year, 2011, I actually ranked number 21 in this awards. You know why this is undeserving?
Why?
Fake accounts.
Yes.
I only had about 3 matches under my belt by the time this happened. I debuted in August and this was done in November. Me and Paul Scarf just decided it'd be a bit of crack to get into them, so we made some fake accounts and voted for ourselves.
That's actually reminding me, and I'm changing my answer here. That's reminding me. I remember, what was it? I think it was the Kick Out podcast did an award ceremony 1 year, and it got absolutely invaded by CCW, who obviously knew better than to mess with our awards. Like, they didn't even try, like, fuck around with it, but they voted whatever way the lads did it. I think it was because you had to vote by email or something like that. And because it was difficult, I think the only people who voted were CCW people voting for themselves. They swept the board. And this is like OTD's big breakout year. This is when they had like Ricochet, Ospreay, and Balor show up. And like the moment of the year is Lee Callahan's like killer promo or whatever.
Pipe bomb. You just know they called it a pipe bomb.
So that'd be for me.
I just want to say, mine's not 100% undeserving, because while me and Paul created accounts to vote for ourselves and each other, like, I'm pretty sure Phil and Justy also voted for us. So I think, because like, I have some of the comments here, and there's 4 comments.
Okay.
And, you know, we were only 2 votes, so I think some of it was real. Maybe.
It's still real to you, damn it.
It was Justy and Phil.
Can that be in your like ring intro now, when it's like the 21st best wrestler in Ireland of 2011?
Actually, that is episode, yeah, episode 13. That's gonna be, you don't get a say in this, I'm the ring announcer. Corbin Keane, your most undeserving award winner in wrestling.
Yeah, I'm gonna ignore your question. I'm gonna basically just, you're on the topic of awards in wrestling, and it reminds me of the worst hot take I've ever seen in my entire life. I can't believe I haven't mentioned it on the podcast till now. I didn't tweet it, I didn't react to it, but it's always been in my head since I read it on Reddit. That's where I found it. It was the worst comment I've ever seen. And basically, This person argued that winning the Wrestling Observer Wrestler of the Year award was more prestigious than winning the WWE Universal title because you're being awarded by wrestling journalist experts. You're being awarded by people at the head of their field, whereas anyone can just get a WWE title.
Like, that's the opposite of how it works.
As if like there's kids growing up being like, yeah, this WWE title will be all right, but I really want that Wrestling Observer Wrestler of the Year award. That's the dream.
I want to be acknowledged by my peers.
it's just an argument that I strongly disagree with, as did many others. So I don't think it's something people argue, but someone argued it, and I feel like I just want to get it off my chest, get it out there, and never think of it ever again.
Do you feel better for having done so?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad. There we go. We're getting off to a positive start. What's been? Whew, it's been a week in wrestling. Tessa Blanchard, Jesus, she had a moment, and then she had a positive moment, and that's pretty controversial, so we're going to be discussing all of that. Speaking of awkward moments, David Benoit, of course, did an interview. We're going to be talking about that. There was an NXT UK takeover. Of course, we're still in the Rumble season as well, so there is a lot to discuss on this week's show, and we will try get to all of it over the next hour and a half or so, but first, we're going to get kicked off, as we always do, with the news stories that have grabbed our attention and give our lightning hot takes on them, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get this show on the road. It's time for
Hot Takes.
Hot Takes getting underway with Corporate Keen.
Yeah, so as you said, David Benoit, Chris Benoit's living son, has basically done an interview there yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah.
With Chris
Van... Chris Van Vliet.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right,
I think I'm 90% sure.
I didn't know who he was, but I didn't want to leave his name.
He's one of he's the AEW Charlie Caruso.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he's a wrestling person. Cool. Yeah. But basically, in the interview, a lot of information was revealed. And some of this information includes that David Benoit wants to be a professional wrestler. And he wants to call himself Chris Benoit Jr., he wants to wear his dad's gear. He wants to use his dad's music. And he wants to basically, you know, be Chris Benoit Jr. And he also said that his dad should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I disagree with that. Most people would disagree with that. And a lot of the reactions on Twitter, the negative reactions were towards that too, which I agree with. But one thing I don't agree with is something I saw a lot of people saying on Reddit. And like, this kind of got to me a little bit, right? So they're basically saying how David Benoit... Oh, he should have to wear a mask. He should have to change his name. He should have to, he should have to grow his hair out and his beard out so he looks nothing like his dad. You know what I mean? He should have to, like, if he wants to be taken seriously, these are the things he should be doing. Nobody's going to touch off him. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's bollocks. Like, fuck right off. That's like, it's not his fault. He's a Benoit. Like, that's just the family he was born into.
That's his name. That's,
and if he wants to go out, now you could argue, you know, it'd be a bit odd, you know, using the exact same music, having the exact same gear. But if he wants to go out and basically change the Benoit legacy and turn it around so that when people see him, they don't just think of a child killer. Or when they see the name Benoit, they don't just think of his dad. Mm. I mean, if he wants to go out and change the perception of what a Benoit is in wrestling, I'd say fuck it, but like, yeah, go for it. That'd be cool. I think it's cool that he's embracing who he is and going for it. I don't know if he is going for it. There's no evidence to suggest he's actually training. He's actually worked as being a wrestler. But if he was to do that, I don't know. I don't think WWE would touch him, but I think there's other ways to make it in wrestling without WWE. You know what I mean? Mm. I feel like it's a bit fucked up to be saying, you know, hey, hide who you are. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's... So I basically, I would support him as Chris Benoit Jr., as his own individual man, and... Fuck it, I just don't think he should have to hide who he is because he didn't choose to be David Benoit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I watched the interview this morning. I said, like, I was off today, so I decided to have a binge of all things wrestling and catch up on all the news. And I watched the interview this morning, and it was interesting, it was fascinating. There's a part of it where you're like, it's a little bit exploitative as well, because... the first thing that comes across with him is that, like, he's not, like, and I mean this, I don't mean this in a bad way, but, like, he's not all there, like, do you know what I mean? You can tell by the way he's talking and the kind of level of conversation he's having that, like, he's not, like, again, like, this is a person who's talking about, like, a very heavy subject and a loaded subject, and I don't know if he's necessarily the guy to talk about it. Now, he wants to share a story and he's entitled to, of course. So again, I didn't, like, there was it, part of it was like, you know when you're watching like Jerry Springer or Jeremy Kyle and you're like, I probably shouldn't be watching this, but I can't look away at the same time. It was a bit like that. Like, again, even if it was recorded in a hotel room and stuff like that, and it would, like, wasn't kind of a professional setup, but it was like, I was just dying to get this guy's story out. Like, so there was a bit of that in there. For me, I found his argument interesting, though, because, like, he's come to a place, a lot of people are saying, like, this guy needs psychological help, like, what's wrong with him? And I was like, no, I when I watched it, and I think people are just reacting to the quotes, and how they are shocking, they are jarring, and when you see him, it's a reminder, he is the cut of his dad, like, do you know what I mean? He is Chris Benoit Jr. when you look at him, like, so I think people are reacting more to that than what, if you actually watched it, I'm like, he actually seems like he's in a good psychological space. Like, first off, he's able to talk about the whole thing very honestly, very openly. He's not getting overly emotional. It looks like he's moved on and he's at a place where he can actually openly discuss it. Even like the finer details, like the day of when he found out, where did he go after that? What were the next few months of his life like? Like, he went in detail about that. And he seems like he's in a pretty decent place with it, where he's like, his dad was his hero. He suffered from CTE. He had the brain of an 80-year-old Alzheimer's patient, where if you know anyone, and most of us do, who suffers from that, like me and Steak, and just not be themselves for long stretches of time and so on. And then he acted, did something crazy and out of character. Not excusable in any way, but, like, that's what ties in with what everyone else says about Chris Benoit and the character statements we get from his friends. And now he's like, you know, that wasn't my dad who did that. Like, my dad, I'm going to choose to, my dad is still my hero, but that was a sick man, you know? And, like, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not going to mess with that. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong to think that about, like, I'm not going to tell you the way you're grieving your father and your brother is wrong. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that. Like, so I'm like, okay, I don't disagree with it. I respect if others do, but for, you know, good for you that you're in. I think that'd fuck a lot of us up if we went through that with our parents, and this guy is in a mentally somewhat stable position by the looks of things, so that's a positive. Also as well, that I picked up on, just a few little notes as well. Chris Jericho is fucking sound. Chris Jericho, since that happened, has basically had this guy's back and been checking in with him regularly. Like, he calls him his best friend within wrestling. And that is, like, that just speaks to how cool Jericho is. I know, like, he gets a lot of slack and he can be a bit eye-rolling at times, especially, like, on Twitter and stuff like that. But, like, the core of who he is as a person, like, he's like, I'm going to look out for my friend's kid. You know, that says a lot about the guy, and I have a lot of respect for him through that, because he didn't put that out there. Like, David did, you know what I mean? He told us this. We didn't know about that. That's all going on in the background. He's trying to make sure that he doesn't get taken advantage of by promoters or people looking to exploit him and stuff like that. And he told all this. As well, another interesting thing, though, that I think kind of makes all of this talk redundant is that he's not going to be a wrestler. Katie, I think you'll be able to identify with this as well. Like, if you've worked within wrestling, there's a phrase where it's like, if you want to do something, you make time. If you don't want to do it, you make excuses. And there's a lot of things here. Like, he is one of those people who are like, you know, the people who are like, oh yeah, I was going to come training, but, like, you know, I finished work at 7 on that night, and then, like, there's a bus, and then there's this, and it's like, well, like, okay, that's fair enough, whatever. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. But there's 10 people who also work who managed to make it. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys where he's breaking down, like, oh yeah, I've got this contact. I've got Jericho. I've got Harry Smith. I've got Natalia. I've got hookups with AEW. I've talked to people in New Japan. And then Chris Van Fleet is like, well, why aren't we making this happen then? What's going on? And then he's like, you know, I'm working in oil and, you know, it's a lot, it's good money. Like, I don't want to step away. And then it's like, and then like, he's one of those people. And again, this is probably something you'll be familiar with from a trader standpoint. He thinks he wants to be a wrestler. Do you know what I mean? When he talks about it, like, do you know the people who want to tell you their character and their gimmick and talk about it in depth? And it's like, well, do you want to come training? And then they're like, ah, like, I work and like, ah, so he's not going to be a wrestler. Like, I'll tell you that right here, right now. It's not a live issue. This is just a guy remembering his dad in a way that brings him the least amount of pain and where he can still somewhat feel connected to his dad. You can even see it on like his Instagram, like when you looked, which I did look at today. Like, it's a shrine to his dad. And as comfortable as that, as uncomfortable as some people that may make some people feel given what he did, that's understandable. You can feel how you want to feel about Benoit, but I'm not gonna moralize over this kid grieving over his father, you know what I mean? Because if that brings him happiness over what's a thing most of us will never even have to come close to dealing with, then I'm not going to hold that against him, you know. And I'm not going to say he needs psychological help or anything. He seemed pretty okay with it. He seems in a good place about it. Have you got a chance to see any of this?
No, I'm just kind of catching up from what yous are saying. Like, you're right. I get a ton of messages from people who are like, they'll send an essay about how, you know, WWE is their dream, wrestling's their dream, you know, all this stuff. And then they'll be like, but I live 40 minutes away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, Debbie Keitel used to travel from Galway for training every Saturday and travel back and then do it again the next day. Or, oh, you know, like, I live in whatever county. Yeah, well, I have people who used to drive from Offaly, who used to drive from Waterford. And you just have no sympathy because you're like, people do this, you know, because it's what they want to do. Like, everyone in Fight Factory travels to England and beyond to train 40 minutes on a bus.
If fans hear it for the first time, they may believe the excuses. They're like, that is a bit of an inconvenience. But when you hear it 1,000 times, you're like, you just don't want this.
But when you think about, like, there's, what, 4 training schools in Ireland?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to travel to train.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the end of it. Like, with any sport, if you want to be the best, you got to travel to where the best train.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunately not going to be on your doorstep. But about the David Benoit thing, like, I completely agree with Keane that, like, it's, you can't tell him not to use his family name. Like, it's who he is. But even without, like, the tragic backstory, like, I wouldn't go so far into the Benoit stuff just because build your own legacy.
Yeah.
Take elements from it. Charlotte Flair's done it really well. She's taken, like, lots of really good stuff from Ric Flair, but she's put her own spin on it. I think changing your name to Chris Benoit Jr., if that's what he was going to do, even if, you know, Chris Benoit hadn't done those things, it's still, like, you're giving yourself a bigger mountain than you need to give yourself at this point.
It doesn't help that Kristen Wall was like one of the absolute best. You know what I mean?
If he was like Hacksaw Jim Duggan Jr., I'd be like, you could hit that. You could do that.
Basically, all children of wrestlers can either go the David Flair route or the Charlotte Flair route. And there's not really an in-between. So, like, give yourself a fighting chance to be Charlotte Flair.
That's a fantastic point, and we'll leave it on that note. Anyway, moving on. I'll try to keep this one short and sweet. You're not cool if you hate NXT UK. That's the point I want to make here. Because it's become a very, like, cool opinion to have that NXT UK is your interesting. Now, here's what I'm not saying before people get triggered. I'm not saying that you have to like NXT UK either. If you don't like it, if you don't want to watch it, I don't watch the TV show, like, every week, straight up. It's part of my job. That's technically something that I have to do. But fortunately, there's enough other shows that I can usually do it. Something that I have to do for Low Blows, like, but I don't watch the weekly TV show. So, I get if you're not into it, like, but it's become a cool thing for people to say, like, NXT UK killed British wrestling. And like, here's what really happened. NXT UK is just a natural consequence. And keep in mind that I got savaged way back on Low Blows when I said, now that Brit wrestling, Irish wrestling is getting big, it's not going to be long before WWE are sniffing around. And people are like, no, this is going to last forever. And now look where we are. Do you know what I mean? So I was one of the first people to highlight that this is what happens when you have a boom on the independent level. And I'm saying this now. So keep that in mind. But it's a natural consequence. The reason I was able to predict it is because that's what happens when something gets this big and this, when something gets this big and gets this valuable. In any industry in the world ever, you get the big corporate, like, monoliths coming in, sweeping in and going, yoink, we'll take that. And you get the people who are at the top of that industry going and taking the money because they put all this time and energy and effort into themselves that they deserve to get paid and they deserve the opportunities. They can't live and be broke forever. And I'm not saying anything that we haven't said in some way, shape or form here as well, but I just want to put an end to the narrative that NXT UK is this big bad monster. This is what happens. Being mad about this is like being mad if, like, you work in a, say, a Londis with someone who's, like, studying for their college and they're your best mate and they're really sound and you don't want those memories to end, and they go off and they use their college degree to get a really good job elsewhere, and you're like, you sold out, man, you sold out. And he's like, what, do you expect me to work in Londis for the rest of my fucking life? Like, that's like it. This is what happens. This is the way of the world, and it'll be fine on the other side. There will be another boom in the future of British wrestling. Fortunately, in Ireland, we're still able to kind of experience the tail end of that boom. We're still not done with that. OTT is a double header in this national stadium coming up in the next couple of months, so we still get to experience that, so it's not over for us. But, like, this is what happens. They're not bad. They had a really good show, and we're going to talk about it this weekend, and they're doing some good stuff. They're not perfect. I'm not saying you have to love it. I'm not saying you even have to like it or watch it or support it. You don't. But to come on and be like, they're a monster, it's like, this is what happens. You're just mad at the way the world works. And if you're going to be mad at the way the world works, you're just going to get pissed off a lot in your life, because this happens in every industry. People do well for themselves. They go off and they make the most amount of money as possible. And that's that. Corbin Keane, you look like you disagree strongly.
Yeah. I don't know. My brain hasn't had enough time to formulate a counter argument, but we'll see what comes out of my mouth. I don't know. I just think you're not denying that NXT UK are bad. You're just saying we have to accept it. That's like, they are bad. They're shite. Like, let's be honest. NXT UK, right? Takeover was good, and I have about 4 a year. You know what I mean? That's 4 good shows a year. That would have been, like, you know, 12 good progress shows back 2 years ago, I'll say. You know what I mean? And NXT Weekly TV, I do watch it. It's shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They have ruined it. Like, it's great. I'll put it this way. From a human point of view, it's great for the wrestlers to get a job out of it. And I hold no grudge against anyone who takes the money and actually turns it into a full-time living. That I agree with. But from a fan's point of view, there's no benefit. It's shit.
I'm not arguing against anything you're saying here, okay? I'm just saying that this is the way of the world. It's like, again, expecting your mate to work in Londis for life because you had some good times there. No, they're going to go off and their life is going to progress, and that's going to happen. Like,
but just because it's the way of the world doesn't make them...
It doesn't make it a nice experience. It doesn't make
it's
still
it... shit, like, even if it's the thing to do.
No, but also at the same time, and we will get into this when we discuss the show in particular, there's a lot of stuff that happens on it that gets shit on because it's NXT UK. Like, there's a lot of shit, like, for example, the women's match. Like, first he thought it was a great match. Twitter was absolutely buzzing at the time. But then, you're getting hot takes afterwards. They're like, it was shit. And if that match happened in fucking New Japan or AEW or anywhere cool, it'd be a great match. If the exact same spots happened, people would say it was great. But because it's NXT UK and because David Starr makes catchy tweets about it, then people are like, this is ruining wrestling. And it's like, no, WWE do this all the time. Learn your wrestling history. Like, for me, it's just like, this is what happens. And yeah, it can be a bit shit, but it'll get good again. This is like, it's just, why be mad about something that's inevitable? Like,
because it's shit.
I don't get people getting upset about it because there's so much other wrestling. I don't understand why they invest their, like, emotional capital.
Because if you were, like, you see, again, because we're lucky to be a part of the Irish scene, so, like, OTT would be, you know, what I'm passionate about, and that's not affected at all. In fact, that's actually kind of benefited, you know, with stories and stuff. But, like, if say, like, progress was your life, you know what I mean? And say you were really passionate about, like, you know, one of those places, and then NXT kind of came in and just kind of ruined it. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of...
Yeah, but I just don't understand the energy that's being, like, expelled, given out about it. I'd be disappointed, I'd be annoyed and upset, but I'd probably find something else to watch. No, but I think what Rick is saying is like the people who are on Twitter all day, every day, like actually like harassing people who are on NXT, calling them names and being like, just, you know what I mean? Like that's a different
kind of energy. Jordan gets the constant tweet saying oink oink. Do you know what I mean? He gets constant shit. Constantly. Constantly in his mentions. There are people who go around doing this all day, every day. Every time they do something, it's oink, 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 oink. This, that, the other. Because that's become the cool thing to say. And it's just like, no, learn what the fucking world is. Learn what the real... this is real life. Like, this is what happens. Sorry, like. It's not mad to troll wrestlers. See, like.
No, but I don't think the people who tweet that at Jordan Devlin are pissed at Jordan Devlin. They're doing it as a joke. Like, no, Jordan Devlin's.
But it's a lot of energy to put into a joke. It's just a lot of negative energy that I just feel like could be better spent finding other wrestling to watch.
Yeah, just enjoy.
You know, when you sign, I'm absolutely going to be tweeting at you like every single day.
Like, it'd be funny then. It'd be funny then, but like, yeah, that's different. Anyway, look, this argument rages and rages, so let's move on to the current. Over to one I've been looking forward to, the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Harvey, with the latest Harvey's Hot Take.
We're going to talk about Triple H.
Yeah.
Okay.
He ruined wrestling. I'm just going to flip.
We're going to talk about a slightly off-color joke he made at the expense of Paige on a recent conference call, where he was talking about wrestlers coming back from injuries and, you know, the amazing advancements we've had in, like, recovery, and like no one thought they'd see Daniel Bryan wrestle again, and you know, a really heartfelt sentiment about, like, you know, our athletes' health is what's most important to us. We want our athletes to have long and healthy lives and see their kids grow up. And he's like, Edge has kids, then he goes, and Paige has a few she probably doesn't know about. And then it got really awkward and there was a little giggle, and then he kind of, you know, was like, right guys, and then everyone laughed louder, and then he was like, we'll get some coffee to wake you all up here, and
this laughter, thing on
the laughter got a little bit louder but like more awkward, if that's possible. I cringe and think.
Will we play the clip? I have the clip here, okay? I hope this is the right clip, so hold on, sorry.
It's a medical decision. That is far from us. If our medical experts say that they believe that this person has done whatever to rehab their situation, or it could be multiple situations and anything. But if they've done that, all of that, and
this is like a minute
to get back to the ring, they're not. And you see that with Daniel Bryan.
Don't bore us. Get to the chorus, Triple H. Right, hold on. I'm skipping. Wait, no, this is where it gets awkward.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's the awkwardness.
Can you
eat
some coffee for this?
Oh, that boy cringe. That boy cringe.
So here's the thing, right? Everyone's made awkward jokes, you know.
I'll turn Katie off the speaker. Oh my God, I can hear myself as well.
I'm really glad you just said turn Katie off the speaker and not just be like, oh, turn Katie off.
Do you want to awkward?
Oh, she's going to talk again about feminism. The issue isn't actually what he made in the joke. I know a lot of people have taken offense to that, but everyone's made awkward jokes. It was like, oh, what was my original point? I've put myself off now, and I had one. Yeah, so he makes the awkward joke. He has apologized for it as well today. Right. I will put that out there. It was also the awkward interaction her boyfriend had with Triple H afterwards. Oh. And I don't know if you've seen it, so I have the tweet here. So Triple H just makes this inappropriate joke about Paige. And then her boyfriend's response defending her is, hey WWE, and he tagged them, you should be embarrassed and ashamed of yourselves for letting someone like Triple H run your company and publicly disrespect one of your divas. Biased or not, I hate watching her cry over you. Hasn't she been through enough? Divas, like, my whole issue with this thing is like, why are these two lads talking about Paige? Like, why is one making public jokes about her? Why is one defending her but actually not defending her, just making the entire situation worse? And she's probably sitting at home just cringing as much as we are. You know, it's not nice to have that public joke made. Yeah. And like, she defended herself on Twitter. She was basically just like, oh, when even your boss thinks you're a joke, ha ha. Like, and then he piled on, and then it's just like, just leave her alone. Let her fight her own battles. She doesn't need people wading in. She doesn't need people making jokes. Like, I don't believe Triple H meant any harm by that. He probably just thought he was being funny. He clearly wasn't.
Attitude era, am I right, guys? Am I right? Oh,
yeah, like that. Like, but that's what it is. Like, and everyone does make slips, no matter how woke you are. I believe everyone makes slip ups because we're in a generation now where we're, you know, everything is changing and everything's moving on and attitudes are changing all around. But it's just the whole thing is so cringy. And basically, like, just men get off Twitter. or if you just want to speak for a woman, just don't. Like, just don't. Just
that's a good general rule.
It just comes off as really patronizing and infantilizing, and just like leave her alone, let her do her own thing.
Do you know my big issue with the thing? The joke doesn't make sense. Like, I get how a man could not know he has a few kids around. A woman's gonna know. Yeah. She's gonna know.
It's not like they drop out when you're walking out of the supermarket and you don't realize you've left it behind. Like,
what was that? Oh shit! Run!
And then, like, no way. The gas thing is like the juxtaposition of her and Edge, where where it's like, you know, Edge and his family, like solid upstanding citizens.
He basically thinks there's an inequality between Edge and Paige, and she doesn't like the way Edge gets treated respect and Paige doesn't. So
that is actually a good summation.
That's a good you should speak for Katie Moore. You just nailed her point in a way that she, a woman, could never do.
But I missed him, and I was like, oh yeah, that is, did I not explain it well? He explained it really well. Shit.
That's because he is a man.
Can we just edit that whole section?
Anyway, let's talk about the good and the bad from the in-ring from the week, starting with the bad, because it's time for...
Say something stupid.
Worst moments of the week. While Katie's still reels from that, I want to talk real quick about a moment from Raw. A lot of people gave out about Rusev and Lashley. I didn't have a big issue with it. Like, it is what it is. The story's not great, but like, they actually wrestled the match this week, and that's what they're there to do. So I'm seeing that as a net win. I want to talk about like the fist fight as well. A lot of people are having a go about. I thought it was actually gas. Like, to be fair, did you see Kevin Owens and his fucking crazy bump?
Oh, it was big fucking kickflip, fucking Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, fucking whatever.
Kickflip slip. That was fucking scary. He slipped on that stage and then did a flip afterwards. I'm like, oh my god, it was fucking terrifying. But I thought that was a bit of crack. But I want to talk about a promo backstage. This is something that not many people will have picked up on. Maybe just me. But it's Seth Rollins talking to the Authors of Pain. And there's obviously been no direction at any stage to the Authors of Pain. Because watch this promo if WWE put it up on YouTube. Akam hasn't been told where to look. Okay? So at one stage, he turns around. Now, if you just watch Akam, he was on the left the entire time during this promo. He, like, stares, he grimaces at the camera. Then you can see him think to himself, wait, Seth Rollins has given us a pep talk, so I should probably look at him. So he looks at Seth Rollins, and then he looks at Reza, and then he grimaces back to the camera. And then he keeps looking around, not knowing where to look. And you can see him overthinking in his head, like, nobody told me where to put my fucking hands. Like, and it was brilliant because it's one of these things. Katie, you'll probably appreciate this from when, like, you first did things when, where, like, on camera, even if it was wrestling or not, because I know you did film studies and stuff like that. No one tells you that little shit. So when you're like, you know, you're in that moment, you're like, where do I look? Where do I put my hands? What do? No one stands here and just lets their hands hang loose. And that was that moment. It was Akam realizing that nobody had prepared him for this and nobody had told him how to stand or where to look in a promo. Look it up on YouTube. It is absolutely fantastic. In at number four, talk to me about SmackDown.
Oh, we need to change it because my worst moment just happened about 5 minutes ago. Bits over it. SmackDown. You know, I've been very excited about John Morrison coming back. Mm. I talked about it last week and, like, wanting to see what he's going to do and all the rest of it. So this week he was the guest on Miz TV and it was really bad. Like, I don't know if you've seen it. It was not the John Morrison of old. You know when he's on the dirt sheet and he had that very obvious, like, put-on voice? Like, he made it deeper and sharper and it was a little bit more Jim Morrison. He was kind of, like, had a little bit of that voice, but also himself, but also just sounded really unsure and nervous.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you're the shaman of sexy. Like, you're the super confident John Morrison. Like, this is not you. This is not cool. And it just ended up being really kind of awkward and cringy. And they were kind of doing this thing where he was starting off face-ish and then he was like transitioning to heel. But like nothing was said with conviction. So you're just kind of sitting there like carefully watching The Miz, waiting for the cues for how you were supposed to react.
Oh.
It was just really disappointing. And I was talking to Phil about it because I was like, I was really let down by it. And he was like, what else did you expect? And I was like, John Morrison's deadly. And he goes, but was he? And I went, what do you mean? And he goes, were you upset when he left WWE 8 years ago? And I was like, well, no. But and he goes, but like Twitter and video packages have hyped you back up to be excited about his return. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, He wasn't that good back in the day, but nostalgia has led you to believe that you're really excited about a John Morrison return. And I was like, oh, that's really disappointing.
Do you know what? That's a valid point. Like, I didn't like him in Impact. He was like my least favourite in Impact.
Yeah.
And like Lucha Underground. Nah, he was alright in Lucha Underground, but like...
He found himself in Lucha Underground, like, I think, because he was playing like an out there character. He's actually a really good actor. Like, he's achieved stuff in acting, but like, I think in wrestling, you have to act as a version of yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that's where he's not good. Maybe he's just one of these people that when he's playing a character that's totally out there, maybe he's better then, but it's just...
But like, I loved Miz and Morrison because I loved their banter and I loved their kind of like...
The dirt sheet was really
good. The dirt sheet was brilliant. Yeah. I've watched a couple of episodes this week and like, genuinely still laughing.
Yeah.
It just, there wasn't that chemistry and magic and it was disappointing.
Do you ever have like a reunion night with like, you know, college friends or something like that and you go along and you're like, oh man, these are always the crack. And then like you get there and you're like, you're just older and like you just change, you're in different positions in your life now and you laugh at different things and someone makes a joke that they would have killed 15 years ago, but then it's like... That's a bit immature.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. Yeah, it's like, oh God, the memories were better.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but like, he's getting no reaction. I thought there was loads of people like me who were tricked into thinking they were excited. And feels like, yeah, but like, think of all the 15-year-olds who've never seen him before.
Yeah.
And he was like, the video package they showed on SmackDown had like kept cutting to him making his entrance at WrestleMania and feels like you realise that was the same entrance cut into the video 4 times, just at different parts of the ramp. And he's like, they're just making him seem like he was a bigger deal. And I was like, you have just wrecked this for me in the space of 2 minutes. So in summation, Miz TV wasn't very good this week.
Never watch Miz TV with Phil. That's a lesson we can take from this. In a number three, one from NXT UK, something I want to talk about, Joe Coffey. I'm a fan of Joe Coffey. Like, I don't dislike Joe Coffey in the slightest. I've nothing against him. I think he's a perfectly good, competent wrestler. Obviously, has achieved a lot in ICW and whatnot. Deserves his place in NXT UK. Deserves to be, you know, highlighted in NXT UK. The problem is, he's not like... When you look at that brand, you look at the assets they do have. And putting him... Like, they've had 2 takeovers and he's been in a long-ass main event twice. It's just, he's not that guy. He's not like the main event guy in NXT UK. When you have Joe Coffey there, he's not over enough with the crowd. He's not, he doesn't have the star quality. I think that's just the one thing he's missing. And there's nothing, this isn't a criticism of him because this is something he almost can't control. It's star quality. It's having that, you look at Walter and you instantly get Walter. If you've never seen Walter before but you saw a picture, you're like, got it. Yeah. No, I see it. He's the evil big monster. Got it straight away. Joe Coffey, I'm like, that's a man. He is a person. He's definitely a person. And like, he's a big, burly Scottish lad, like, thousands of other big burly Scots. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like a rugby player. If I was to, like, if I'd never seen him and I was guessing what he was. And I think it's just that. And, like, it's not to say that he shouldn't ever main event NXT UK or anything like that. If you put him in the main event of a TV show, grand. If you even put him in the main event of, like, one takeover ever. Like, even I didn't mind him being in the main event against Pete Dunne, the first one. Because it was like, okay, he's an established name. You know, you're giving him his due. It's kind of like when Bob Holly, do you remember he wrestled Brock Lesnar at the Rumble? And it felt really fresh and different because it's like, I've never thought of you as that guy. Oh, this is cool. But then imagine, like, Bob Holly came back for the next 6 months and you're like, yeah, you're not that to me, Bob Holly. You know, and that's my issue with it, because for me, it killed the momentum of the show. What was a really good show, and we will talk about the good in a bit. For me, it kind of killed it in the main event, because I at no stage believe Joe Coffey's going to be Walter. And to be honest, I don't really want him to. Do you know what I mean? Even if I'm buying into the character and even if I'm getting into the storyline, I'm like, yeah, you're not the guy. You're not the, you know, give me Jordan or give me Tyler or give me something like that. That I can get into. I can buy into that person as the guy to dethrone Walter. I'm like, you're just a guy. If you win, it'll be flat. Like, it's, I couldn't buy into it. And then they'd give me a half hour match. And, like, he worked his ass off. Like, he made the best of that situation. Again, it's not a criticism of him per se, because it's stuff he can't help. But it's just, That to me hurt. Corbett Keane, again, you're looking at me like, yeah.
Was I?
Yeah. I know you watch Joe Coffey and you like him.
I thought that was fair. Yeah, I'm a huge Joe Coffey fan. You know, maybe down the line, if the fans start, you know, giving a shit about him, sure. But I can't really argue with it. Like, it did, it was kind of like, it's a bit dead, yeah.
Yeah, now this is happening, and we all, yeah. Like, for me at the end of it, because, like, I remembered him and Pete going like 45 minutes. I'm like, don't go 45 minutes. It's grand. If Walter, if you win this in 5 minutes, I'm okay, and this has been a good show. You know, if you go half an hour, that's the only way this can be. Now, they pulled it back in the end with the Undisputed Era, and we will get to the good as we go on. But first, the top two or two that I both feel very passionately about, so I can't wait to hear your guys taking it. Let's talk about AEW first.
So I took a bit of a break watching wrestling over Christmas, so I'm only just getting back into AEW, and you had told me that the tide has turned against them because of some things that were happening, and I think this is one of the things that's happening.
Very much so. Very much so.
The Nightmare Collective. Mm. So basically, I always think AEW has struggled to build a women's division. They're just about getting there because they're starting to sign some really good girls, and they're starting to actually give them, like, stuff to do. And then they decided to ruin it all by having Randy Rhodes build this faction. We've already spoke about the problems before, how she went from kind of corporate figurehead, Cody Rhodes' wife, face, to voodoo mistress in a week. Yeah. And that hasn't really clicked. And now she has a posse where she's cutting off people's hair, she's interrupting matches, and, like, no one really knows why or how it's going on. The issue with this was there was a really good match going on with Rio and Chris Statlander. Learned how to say her name. Brandy was on commentary and she was fucking awful. She has not learned the art of building people up to tear them down as a heel. She is literally just going in for people, and it's just annoying to listen to. But also, like, if you're running someone down that much and then they get their comeuppance on you, you've got your comeuppance by a loser. Like, it's that old thing that Chris Jericho always talks about with promos.
It's like the first thing you learn in promo class.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, newbies who've been wrestling less than a year know that. Like.
Yeah, and I know she's trying to make barbs and stuff, but she's just sounding ridiculous. Like, are we really going to buy into Chris as an alien? And I was like, do you think The Undertaker is really an Undertaker? Like,
are you a voodoo queen?
Yeah. It's like look around, like, and then what happens later on in the segment, like, this makes it even more, like, incredulous. And she's trying to get barbs in at Excalibur, like, calling him the wrong name, and, like, you must be really ugly to wear a mask, and he is having none of it. He is so great. He's just like, actually, this is a deep-rooted Lucha Libre.
Lucha Libre.
Lucha Libre.
Episode title.
This is a deep-rooted Lucha Libre tradition that I grew up in, and that's why I wear it. But, like, every time she started her shit, he just cut her down really, really well and was like, nope, I'm not having this. No, thank you.
Yeah.
There was also another issue of having 5 commentators on this episode of AEW, which didn't help. Like, so anyway, the match is going on. It's a really, really good match. people are actually really buying into Chris Statlander and thinking like, oh, actually, this could be a good switch. And then the match gets interrupted by the Nightmare Collective. And then this really weird thing happens where a guy crawls out from under the ring. So Chris Statlander is squaring up to Awesome Kong, or is it Brandy? Brandy, and she's just about to punch her. He crawls out from under the ring and catches it. Turns out this big reveal is someone called Dr. Luther. I've never heard of Dr. Luther. Have either of you ever heard of Dr. Luther?
The Japanese deathmatch specialist, Dr. Luther.
Yeah, they keep shouting this in commentary, right? And it doesn't make it any clearer. And then Excalibur is trying his best to make this seem like a big thing. And he's like, that guy looks like Dr. Luther, but it can't be Dr. Luther because Dr. Luther is a crazy deathmatch guy. I'm like, this is an owl lad with blood on his head, like, and it's just there, it's not working. No one is reacting.
I thought it was Billy Bedlam. I popped, and then he was like, it's Luther. I was like, oh, what?
They changed his name.
Yeah, and it just all fell really flat, and it's really awkward. It ruined a really good match. And it's just, I don't really understand what happened. No. And apparently he's in the collective now, so this is a thing. They did kind of hint at intergender stuff, because I liked how they had Rio go up, basically, and they're like, oh, look, she's down, get the win. And they rolled Rio in. She climbs up to the top rope for a finisher, but she does a big crossbody. Mm. Picture perfect. Didn't break an elbow. It was fantastic. I'm going to take notes from it. And so I kind of like that. It's like, it keeps her facey as well. Like, she doesn't want to win like that. And they go in and they kind of finish the match. But they finish the match in the most awkward way possible. So, like, they kick out of a lot of falsies, which is cool. Chris gets her up for a pile driver in the middle of the ring. And then for some reason, unknown to me, she walks to the ropes to do the pile driver, where Awesome Kong just grabs her feet. She gently falls over. And then that's the finish. Ugh. Like, that's the finish of the entire match. I'm like, she's just kicked out two finishers, but you're telling me Rio, who weighs about 90 pounds, gently falling on her as she's tripped up, is what ends this match.
Yeah.
It was just, the whole thing was messy. And then they're not even getting to the thing about, like, about Shida and Britt Baker sitting in the crowd. Yeah. This is one thing I don't get about AEW. Like, okay, we all know the trope, but, like, people looking sideways at the telly backstage. Like, are you mean to tell me if you don't book wrestlers, they have to sit in the crowd? Like, it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't really get it. And then Jim Ross is there like, oh, girls couldn't get booked tonight. And I'm like, that's not doing your product any favors.
Yeah, no, it's messy. And, like, the problem is as well, I don't think even the people involved fully understand it. And I don't think they're buying it. Like, they're not striking me as people. Do you know the way when, like, even you don't understand something? Like, the Dark Order, I believe that they believe in their characters. I believe that they know what they want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even though that's messy and we're not necessarily on side, I'm like, well, I'm sure it's gone somewhere because that seems real.
Yeah.
You know, with this, it's like no one is buying into this.
Well, actually, they're not even, like, it's like the right hand isn't talking to the left hand, because part of Brandy's commentary at the start was like, she was just running down the match. She's like, I'd rather take a nap than watch this. And then Excalibur goes, why are you here? I feel like it came out before he could say anything. He's like, well, why are you here?
Yeah.
And she just kind of froze for a second and went, well, you invited me, didn't you? And you just know she's digging him in the ribs. Like,
yeah. It was bad, but it was not the worst thing in the week, because in the number one, this was egregious. This was repulsive. Corporate Keane, talk to me about Impact.
Oh, this is a regular thing. This isn't even just like, just this past week, you know what I mean? This is like a regular Sammy thing that I fucking hate. I meant to hate it, but I still fucking hate it, so it's here. I'm going to talk about Impact's pay-per-view, you know, in This Is Awesome. This is just one little thing that I'm not a big fan of. Sammy Callahan spits a lot. He spits an absolute fuck ton. Like,
hate
an absolute
it.
Fucking shit ton. Do you understand? Why? What, the only saliva that should be in wrestling is the one that sang Ladies and Gentlemen for WrestleMania 23. There is no other saliva that should be seen in a wrestling ring. This is disgusting. This does not add to my viewing experience. No. I don't think, it doesn't make me hate Sammy anymore, you know what I mean? Like, I don't go, oh, I hope that lad fucking loses because he spits. I still want to see him. I think Sammy Callahan's a good wrestler, but when I see that, I'm just... just like, so I literally, like, skipping ahead a few minutes, like, I don't want to see that shit. And, like, oh man, like, as a wrestler, would you let Sammy Callahan and his drooly, disgusting, sticky, wet hands smack you around?
Do you want to know a rotten story?
I don't, but tell me anyway.
I was wrestling a girl who was known for spitting on people as she wrestled, and I hate it. Like, I have a real averse thing to spitting as well. Like, if I see someone spitting on the street, I'll call them, like, a dirty bastard. Like, to their face. I just cannot. I hate it. And so we were chatting through the match, and she's like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, look, I know you've spat on people in matches before. I'm telling you now, don't spit on me. And she's like, oh, it's in the heel. And it's like, I don't give a shit if it's a heel thing. I might get sick or punch you or both. Like, I can't. I
punch you the bugle.
I was like, I can't be held responsible.
It's in sync.
I was like, I really hate spitting. Like, I will just have a reaction. And she was like, okay, I won't do it. So it was like a brawly type match, and we brawled to the stage. And I was on my hands and knees. And I heard a crowd reaction. I thought, oh, she must be like geeing up to do something. But she didn't do it. And so we continued the match anyway. And I was like, that's really weird. And I was like, thanks for not spitting on me. And she just kind of laughed. And then I was talking to someone else afterwards. And they went, I can't believe you let her spit on you. I just went, what? And when I watched the match back, when I was feeding around on my hands and knees, she just huggered and spat on the back of my head. And this is what killed me, right? Like, I didn't even get to react to it. You know what I mean? Like, it was a nothing thing in a match. She literally just did it because I told her not to. Because it didn't benefit the match in any way. Yeah. It wasn't part of a spot. There was no payoff. She literally was just told, don't spit on me, and thought, well, if she can't see me do it. Like, it didn't even get that big a reaction from the crowd. It didn't get any heel. I flipped. I flipped backstage.
That's
after
a dick move. Like,
yeah.
There's no spit in wrestling. I think it's shit.
He snots as well.
Yeah, I don't imagine.
Like, he snots a lot. Right. But like, not only that, right? But like, no, we have to go into this because a lot of people hate this. Because like, for me, I don't watch much Impact, and I had to watch this after what happened. but for me, it was really, it was like, turn my TV off. Like, it was bad. Like, I'd never seen this before. Like, so, like, he has, like, the phlegm going across his face at all times. And then, like, he'll do things like, he'll spit into his, like, like, at one stage, Tessa goes, they're both dying by cringe here. At one stage, Tessa goes, hit me. So he spat on his hand and slapped her in the face.
Oh,
like,
what a dirty bastard.
It is mank. It is fucking mank. Now,
what do you do, Sammy Callahan, did that to you?
I'd probably get sick and punch him. Simultaneously. But you know what? I seen a spot in a match that was rotten as well, where someone spat in someone else's mouth during the heat.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, what? No, like,
what point are you proving there? Like, what? How am I
break an eye? Like,
I think now we can fit in. I know we're going to talk about the actual match itself later, but let's talk about the booking of having Tessa. Let's at least address it here. I'm not saying it's the stupidest thing in the week. Let's talk about the booking of having Tessa after the weekend that came out. If you missed it, if you're not on Twitter, like on Saturday. So basically what happened here is Tessa Blanchard was fighting for the Impact World Championship. And on Saturday night, she put out a tweet saying, you know, I think women should support each other. And then Allison Kay
comes out and dunks on her.
Allison Kay, I think we can safely say, blew it wide open. Basically said, you're known for being a bully and a bitch. Remember that time you called someone the N-word and spat on them in the locker room? And then, like, loads of people. Who else was there? Chelsea Green came
Violet
out.
Violet Dawn.
Shanna? Yeah.
Oh, there's another one. Priscilla Kelly. La Rosa Negra. The victim of the racist abuse. Yeah, loads came out.
And it was like, in a situation, like, we were talking about it in the group chat, and then Keane, you were like making the point, Impact have no move but to put the belt on her based on the storyline. So it was a big thing. Like, what do we think about actually doing it, like, after what had happened?
You know what, like, I think when you look at Impact, and I was going to mention this later on, but you know, when you look at Impact, it's like, and you watch the match and listen to the crowd, do they give a shit? No. Like, if I'm being honest, like, what negative effects is this going to have on Impact? Tessa Blanchard being champion. Will it really affect, like, look at their roster, and look at the history a lot of the people on their roster have. You know what I mean? Nobody cares. Let's be honest, like, they don't. It doesn't affect Impact at all. They can bring in whoever. They could bring in Teddy Hart tomorrow, and it wouldn't affect their business in the slightest. So, I don't blame them for not allowing this kind of out, you know, this kind of, I don't know what you call it, like, backlash, whatever you want to call it, to change their story. You know, they finished the story, they've built up for ages, and they're like, fuck it, let's tell the story, let's end it, and where they go from here is what I'm interested to see. But I feel like with Impact, was it you that said Impact is for the fans that don't ask any questions? It kind of is. Yeah. It's not great. Like, personally, I don't find it great seeing Tessa Blanchard with I don't look at that and go, oh, look at that heroic.
It was fascinating to watch. Like, I had no plans of watching that match. And, like, when that broke, I'm like, I have to watch that match.
But then once the match started, that was gone for me.
Yeah.
Like, I avoided spoilers all day. Didn't check my group chat once. Didn't check, you know, nothing. And in the end, I felt kind of pointless, because once the bell rang, I was like, Tessa's still winning this. Like, you can tell by the way that, like, yeah, the crowd is, the way it's presented, like, there's nothing, Impact hasn't been affected by this at all. So
it was fascinating to watch it all take place, because they did the story they were always going to do, where Tessa's the hero. That's what made it fascinating for me, because it's like, yeah, a racist hero. Yeah, a bullying hero. You know what I mean? It was really awkward. But like you say, it didn't affect it. Like, they got the shot they wanted, where the crowd, a.k.a., I'm now going to call the Impact Zone the wrong side of history. Like, they shot afterwards where they're all like, yeah, yeah, and they're going into close-ups of fans. And I'm like, you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that person celebrating that.
But like, here's the thing. All them stories weren't told for the first time last week. Like, those rumors have been swilling around a long time. Like, I had heard all that before, and I think a lot of people had heard bits and pieces before. So it's not like Impact didn't know. You know what I mean? So, like, it probably just didn't affect them. They're probably just like, yeah. Now more people know, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it did, like, I wasn't feeling what I probably would have felt, you know what I mean? Like, if none of that happened, you know what I mean? But
the fans seemed happy.
Yeah,
they're literally the people. Like, do you know who I thought of when I saw those fans? This is very inside baseball. Do you know when, like, we're all like talking about a big scandal in the big Low Blows group chat, and then you have Jerry come along and go, "What happened?" That's the Impact fans, the people who don't know the drama on Twitter, and they're like, "Yeah, this is amazing." And then someone's just like, "Lads," and they're like, "What? What? Oh."
No, it's like, I feel like, yeah, it's, I don't know if they're in their own bubble or maybe Twitter.
I think they are. Oh. I think they still think they're like, we're the number two guys. We're coming for you, Vince.
Or is Twitter the bubble? You know, it's kind of, it reminds you of, you
yeah,
know,
that's when
Twitter is a bubble as well.
When Mecha Wolf came to OTT, I was there, I watched the match, and I remember people, the outrage when Mecha Wolf was booked. And everyone went, and he got cheered. So, like, yeah, I just got to show, like, in person, are people as, you know what I mean, you know, upset by the things they claim they're upset about? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's just a few hundred of us, like, talking constantly.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, I always use Phil as a good measuring stick for this, because, like, he's on Twitter, but, like, he wouldn't check it as much as me. Like, I love Twitter. I love interacting on Twitter. So if I say to him, like, oh, did you hear the thing about Tessa Blanchard? He'd be like, no, like, he didn't know she was fighting for the title at Impact. Like, it really just doesn't touch the majority of people.
We need to check in. Like, we need to check ourselves. Phil is a good barometer. We need to go, what does Phil know? Yeah. That's a good way of looking at it. Anyway, let's talk about the more positive stuff from the week, because there's been a lot of it too. So now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for... Best moments of the week. In at number 5, let's talk about the good from SmackDown.
SmackDown was like, nothing was outstanding on it this week, but there are a few good little things. One storyline I haven't really talked about is Mandy and Otis, and I'm like, low-key really enjoying it. It's very cute. Like, Otis fancies Mandy. I think Mandy fancies Otis back, and there's like this little cute back and forward, but it's like, you know, it's like a high school teen movie where they're just like, oh no, but like, you can't be together because she's really hot and you're not. Like, you know, so it's like Dolph Ziggler, like, Otis gave Mandy a cake his mum had made, and Dolph Ziggler like took it and smashed it. Like, really like stupid things, but that make me feel a lot of emotions. So what she did this week is like, she made a cake for him. An apology cake, and she gave it to him, and like, it's just really cute and it's really stupid, but I just love it. Like, and I'm really invested to see if like Otis and Mandy are going to become a couple.
It is like, it is actually entertaining, like, because Otis is very good at being Otis. Do you know what I mean? Like, his performance is full. Like, he buys into the character.
Charisma out the door, like.
Yeah, he's great. So, like, it makes it, like, whereas it could just be another shit WWE storyline. But I'm going to ruin this for you now. Do you remember later he came out, she had a match, and then he came out on the stage and just started going, like, I'm like, that's a bit predatory.
What are you talking about? That's what all women want.
Yeah, you want a guy just standing, like, watching it going,
it's like a mating call, you know.
The owner, it's working. Whatever he's doing, it's working. Anyway, yeah. Also on SmackDown this week, you like something else?
Oh yeah, Daniel Bryan. I'm really liking the culmination of this Fiend feud. Here's the thing that I've talked about before. Like, I love everything the Fiend does until the bell rings. Everything in between is always excellent, and this is an example of that. It's Daniel Bryan cutting a backstage promo about how the Fiend did change him, but it's actually for the better, as opposed to like Finn Balor and everyone else. And there's a Firefly Funhouse, and basically it's Ramblin' Rabbit being like, he has a weakness, I'm gonna tell you what his weakness is, and then Bray Wyatt appears and like Ramblin' Rabbit gone again. And cuts a really good promo, and then later on the show Daniel Bryan finds a box gift wrapped in his room, and it's, you know, the decapitated head of Ramblin' Rabbit. And again, really, really stupid, but because of like how convincing both of them are in this, you fully buy into it, and you're like, oh shit, if he can do that to a puppet, what's he gonna do to Daniel Bryan?
To be fair, I fancy Daniel Bryan ahead of a puppet, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, he has a better chance, but still, I'm just saying.
But like, how are they making me care about a puppet this much? Like, how are they making me this invested with like a fake children TV program, some puppets? Like, I just...
It's also a great gamut to have, like, where it's like, there's a kryptonite here in play.
I love that idea. Yeah. It's like, what is... going to be the weakness? Is it a physical weakness? Is it someone in his life? Is it like, what is it?
You wonder if like they know, or if it's going to be like, oh, if you kick him in the balls, like,
and we get another feud built around kicking people in the balls, like Nakamura and AJ. I will never laugh as hard as I did that night at the Low Blows party, where I came here excitedly waiting for that big blow off match, and Jay Money arrived late and he was like, what did you miss? And I was like, Nakamura and Styles kicking each other in the balls for 10 minutes.
Rochambeau.
I'm not even lying.
In a number four, I want to talk about Raw. Something that I want to highlight, that when we were off, did anyone see Randy Orton's retirement promo? Well, not a retirement promo, but
no.
No.
He did. This was brilliant. This was fantastic. Really old school. So, do you remember, you might have seen on Twitter, a story broke like on the Sunday night where Randy Orton was seriously injured. And then he came out to the ring and did like, now, Orton did a long entrance. Orton did it, like, his entrance is long by default because he just walks about a fucking step a minute. So, and he did a long entrance out on the crutches and stuff. He had to be helped into the ring, and we're not used to seeing Orton in that vulnerable position. And we're like, holy shit, like, what the fuck? Like, this is genuinely... Because, like, people bought this. Like, I bought it. Like, they reported, like, a serious story. And then you're like, holy shit. Orton comes out and he's like, look, guys, it's going to be a while. I've enjoyed this last run, you know. Happy to be here, thanks for everything. And he does the Mark Henry type deal, you know, and then like you're buying into a hook, line and sinker because they've sold this story so well as if it's a legit story, and then this is like Balor relinquishing the Universal title, you know, and you're like, well, Orton's being really vulnerable here, like, this is, I actually feel bad for Randy Orton here, whether he's shitting a bag or not before. And then AJ comes out and you're like, right, I know where this is going, like, they're setting something up for the future or whatever. AJ starts, you know, he starts kicking away the crutch and stuff like that, and he's like, I'm gonna give you one shot, and then he's like, he's holding his chin out and stuff like that, and then eventually Orton just decides RKO out of nowhere. And then he just starts stamping his foot down, and then he's just like, yeah, I'm grand, and then he just like does his pose, and Orton is over as fuck since then. Like, he is proper, like, as a big Randy Orton fan, you'd love
all of this. I did actually see it now that you're saying it.
Like, when Orton is motivated, he is fucking great, like, and him and AJ bring the best out of each other. I'm loving this feud, like, even though it's probably going to lead to a Mania match for the second year in a row, they work well together, so I don't hate it at all. They started doing this thing I love when like wrestlers steal each other's moves. So AJ and Orton, they were wrestling in like a tag match or whatever this week, And like AJ pulls him back into the ring and does the Orton DDT off the ropes, and then Orton hits him with a Styles Clash. I love when wrestlers do that. Like, it reminds me, do you remember Austin and Rock, like, whenever they knew each other's whole move sets, like, and would hit each other with it? It really brings home the point that these two are old rivals and they know each other inside out and who can get the better. I'm loving this feud. I just wanted to highlight it here, and we'll probably talk about it more in the future. Also, as well, I want to talk about Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy. We haven't really brought this up. These two have been having great matches on Raw for the past few weeks. They had their third match, and I tweeted about this. This is completely unrelated, but I tweeted during this match, I was like, man, WWE refs are fucking great. I don't remember the last time I've even thought about a WWE ref. I don't know why I thought about this during this match. And then at the end of the match, the ref botched the finish, because of course he did. And then I'm like, that's when I would have thought about a WWE ref, if I didn't have that thought. But they had an amazing match. It was one of these great things. Do you know when, like, you get WWE matches where, like, you see Raw and it's 3 hours and the fans are kind of sitting on their hands, and even if there's a great match happening, the fans are still a bit quiet, like, because it's family and friends and they only kind of react for, like, Lana and Lashley type stuff. But, like, when you have a match that's so good and just there's no real storyline here, it's just two lads who, like, hate each other and want to continue fight forever, like, they got the fans up and they, like, had them on their feet by the end. Like, the botch finish kind of ruined it. And then afterwards it led to this really random thing where Buddy Murphy's so hurt that, like, there's two segments where he's just sitting at ringside and just completely dejected. Like, Eric Rowan had a squash match, and, like, in the middle of it just cuts to Buddy Murphy, like, just sitting there thinking about how hurt he is to lose. It was great. But then they paid it off, because the main event was the fist fight. And then in the middle of the fist fight, like, Big Show throws Seth Rollins outside and he gets chicaned, and then he rolls outside and he rolls beside Buddy Murphy, and then, like, you're like, oh yeah, Buddy Murphy's still there. And then after all of that, Rollins just turns around and he's like, help us. And then, like, Buddy Murphy just goes, what? And then, like, just kind of looks at him, and then Rollins goes back, and then you forget about Buddy Murphy. Then 2 minutes later, Buddy Murphy attacks Big Show, and he's found a new purpose, and now he's a part of the whole stable, Rollins and AOP and stuff. So it was just a nice payoff as well. I enjoyed Raw. Like, it wasn't a great Raw, but it was a good Raw. There was a lot to like about it.
That sounds fucking cool. Oh, I'm going to watch it next week. That actually sounds deadly.
Yeah.
Murphy's in. Okay.
Yeah. Also, as well, little nice thing as well, R-Truth did a promo, where Brock Lesnar and Heyman are doing generic.
This is good.
And this was funny as well. And then, like, Heyman comes out and he's like, because the truth is, and then R-Truth comes out and he's like doing his whole, like, he's missed the point, and he's like, I heard you call me out, Paul.
Oh, I did watch this morning.
It was brilliant. And then he's just basically, he says, I'm going to enter the Royal Rumble and I'm going to take you out, you big, mean asshole, Paul Heyman. And then Heyman's like, I'm not in the Rumble. Brock Lesnar's in the Rumble. And he's like, I would like to officially declare that I am unentering the Royal Rumble. It was brilliant. It was great. Brock even looked like he was having the crack in this. Brock was pissing himself the entire segment. It was great crack. And just a bit of something different. Anyway, in at number 3, the good from AEW.
Yeah, there is still a lot of good in AEW, so I think people are just giving out too much. Like, it's, you know, there is still some good stuff. One thing I really enjoyed was the opening match. They have a really nice little storyline going on with Hangman now. Mm. So he would have been in with the Elite, and it seems like he's pulling away. But what I love about it is it's not just like a him turning heel or him turning face and disowning them. It's more so like you can actually see the thought process of like, oh, I don't actually want to be doing what these guys are doing. And like they were against Private Party in a tag match, Kenny Omega and Hangman were. Commentary were excellent for this. So they were explaining a lot about the backstory about how like Kenny Omega and the Elite and the Young Bucks were like, they had to recapture past glories now because they're so like there's so many accolades and titles between them, and that the only time Hangman has ever competed for a world title of any kind is against Chris Jericho for the AEW title. He has no titles. He's no title history. That's mad. I just presume the way they were pushing him that like he won loads of shit in places.
I think the only thing he's won is the US title. I think he may not have even won it, like, yeah, in New Japan. Yeah, no, I think he just challenged for it one time, yeah.
That's such an interesting wrinkle in the story, yeah. And they're basically like, it's him pulling away to do his own thing. Like last week, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega won their match and they're celebrating in the ring.
Yes.
And he's at commentary and they're trying to call him in and he's just like, nah, cool, like, but giving them the thumbs up, like, good job, guys, like, I'll talk to you later, and goes backstage. So you don't really know what's going on. And like they really played up that when they first got on the ring, like they didn't make eye contact, they didn't communicate with each other, but like by the end of the match they were working like a tag team and they seemed to be back on the same page. So it's just really interesting how they're doing it.
But there was a couple of little slips during the match.
Little miscommunications.
Like, and then it was like, whoa. It's a nice slow build. Yeah,
like I'm really loving what they're doing. And I'll tell you, like, I did not give a shit about Hangman until the last 2 weeks. Like, I just thought he was like another real generic sort of like James Storm type. But this match in particular, like, this highlighted the best and worst of AEW for me. I'm not a Private Party fan.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw that out there. I think they're very good at having a Private Party match, and then that's all they can do.
Right.
Like, this is an opening match where there's already a big storyline going on between Omega and Hangman, and your Shine is doing 5 dives in a row. Like, it was just, it was too much. It went 20 minutes. It was too long. But, like, they still had this great storyline threaded throughout it. So for me, it was like the best and worst of AEW. Yeah. And I was like, I think if they just edited a little bit, if they just got a really good agent to be like, you don't need that in this match because this is the focus, I think a lot of the things people are complaining about AEW will go away.
There's a lot to be said for what the point you just made. I think they do that a lot with matches where they let matches breathe and not every match needs to be 15-20 minutes.
No, not at all.
Like an 8-minute match like on TV does it, and it leaves you hungry for more. It leaves you hungry for the pay-per-view, because what's the difference between a pay-per-view and a TV? It's like, oh, this is where they wrestle them full matches, and that's where you're looking forward to, because these matches have been built up in the 8-minute matches. So yeah, I agree with that.
Like Kenny Omega, one of the best wrestlers in the world, can do everything.
Yeah.
Biggest thing he did in this match was a snap suplex. And it got a great reaction. Whereas Private Party were doing like everything, you know, like all this mad shit. And they didn't need to be doing it. You know, when Kenny Omega's getting that reaction for a snap suplex, it was just, to me, it was really interesting because it really did kind of show both sides of the problem, the good and the bad in one match.
Yeah.
But but I really like that storyline. And just the other thing from AEW, the Inner Circle, again at the end. Last week they offered Jon Moxley a car and like loads of money and stuff. 49% of the Inner Circle if he joined.
Such a dick move. I love it. Just the attention to detail for being a dick.
Yeah.
You will be a co-owner. You'll like be a half owner with me. 49%. It's just a little detail. So good. Love it.
So he's like, you know what? I respect you. I'll give you my answer in person. So the closing segment was them getting Jon Moxley's answer. And like he swerved it because he was like a total like reason that you'd be joining the Inner Circle is like, I didn't come here for money, I came here to dominate. Yous are dominant, yes, I'll join.
Yeah.
And like you could feel like the air be sucked out of the room where people are just like, wait, what? And then he had the Inner Circle t-shirt on, you're like, oh shit, where are they going with this? And then obviously it was a swerve, but it was done so well because he was just like, I love Jon Moxley, I love how casual he is. He's like, no, yous are losers. Smashed a bottle of bubbly over his head. Like it was just a really well done segment.
It was a great line at the end. I don't want anything you've got except for that. Boom.
And then did you notice he ran away from Jake Hager?
Yeah.
So like that's another thing. Like I don't want them to go straight to Jericho and Moxley. I want them to do Moxley and Hager first.
Yeah.
And then work his way to Jericho.
They have Sammy Guevara this week, and this is sometimes their attention to detail is great. This is a nice little wrinkle. They did a Road to Miami thing today, and I had a look at it because it's their Bash of the Beach show. And they have DDP as well is going to be on this week in the 6-man. He was on last week. He beat up the Blade and the Butcher.
Oh, yeah, himself, yeah.
Which was like, all right, lads, come on. He's 50. You can take him. We're like, whatever. But they have that, and they had a thing where Sammy Guevara. By the way, this is another thing I need to know. Have you seen Sammy Guevara, what he does during the ad breaks?
No.
This is inspired, okay? So they have the split screen ad breaks where you have the ad and that's the audio. So Sammy Guevara comes out and cuts a promo, but he does it through, like, do you know the Love Actually, like, things, the signs where he's like, and then he's like, J-Lo, booty call, ? But, like, when you watch it on Fight TV, there's no ad break because you're just watching through the ad breaks. Jericho, reads out what Sammy Guevara is saying to the live crowd and does a promo. They're so good, even in those little bits.
Oh,
they're fantastic. They have Sammy Guevara, so I think it is going to go where Moxie has to go through all of them to get to Jericho. So I like it a lot.
Yeah, just one last cool thing that about AEW. TNT have extended Dynamite until 2023.
Yes.
And they've added like a second show, apparently. Are they going to add a second show?
Yeah.
Greenlight this. That's fucking cool as well. Also, was that the last of AEW? I'm not like...
No.
Yeah, no, that okay. was it, yeah.
This is awesome. Number 2.5. Just realised something there. I didn't watch it yet, so I can't go into detail, but am I right? Because I think you did watch it. NWA invaded Ring of Honor. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, Nick Aldis.
Which means NWA and Ring of Honor are backstrapping each other.
Yeah.
Which means Allison Kay could fight Session Mott in 2020.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to point that out. I literally, as you were talking, it dawned, I don't know if you saw me, but like it dawned on me. And I just went like, oh, fuck. Why do I want to say it until you were done talking? But oh, my God, lads. Oh, fuck. Sorry, anyway, yeah. Keep going.
No, that's it. It's your turn anyway. In the number two, talk to me about Impact.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Allison Kay, she nearly ruined everything.
Well, you know, regardless of, you know, the real world, within the bubble of Impact...
it's the way you have to discuss it.
Yeah, it was a good show. Like, I'm not going to say it was, like, amazing or it was must-see, you know. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Hard to kill pay-per-view for anyone who...
Yeah, it's the Impact, the way they do pay-per-views, like, the next pay-per-view is until April. So, pay-per-views for them are a big deal. They only do, like, a few a year now. And this was quite a big deal. I haven't been watching Impact for like the last few weeks, so this for me is kind of my hopping on point again. I'll probably talk about it more as the weeks go on. But just a couple of things. Like Ace Austin, for example, I want to mention. I think he's the X Division champion right now, and I think he's one of the most underrated wrestlers in the world. To be honest, I think he's gonna get fucking massive. Like not physically, he'll probably be the same size. But I mean, just in general, like his star power and stuff will get massive.
Yeah.
And speaking of the champion, the actual title that he holds is quite possibly the sexiest title in wrestling. I know this is a question we get on Astro Blows later on, but oh my fuck, have you seen the exhibition title now?
No.
They made it red again, but like it's really, really nice. Look it up. It is really, really nice. But yeah, that's just a little side note. I want to talk about heel Rob Van Dam.
Yes! Yes! This is my fave.
I knew you wanted to mention it, and I wanted to mention it too. I love Rob Van Dam, right? So this character for me, like I've always loved Rob Van Dam. I've always been a big Rob Van Dam fan growing up. But then, like, in 2019, I'm like, do I really want to see Rob Van Dam again? You know what I mean? We kind of moved on from the ECW era. Do I really want to see these lads? And then he turned heel, and he's immediately, like, my favorite wrestler in Impact. Like, I swear, he is so fucking funny. Basically, for those of you that don't know, like, he turned heel on Rhino. And I remember when he did that, I was like, oh, we're going to get, like, angry. Fuck you guys. You know, like, real, like, angry heel RVD. No, like, no, we got hit, like, he's a heel RVD, but he's not, like, he's still just as calm as face RVD.
Yeah.
He just cuts promos from his jacuzzi with his model girlfriend, the horniest wrestler I've ever seen in my entire life. Katie Forbes is her name.
Yeah.
Just constantly all over him when he's, like, doing
this. Like, this is attitude. Have you not seen any of this?
I've seen little bits on Twitter, and I didn't know whether it was for wrestling or he was having a midlife crisis.
No, it's both. This is his real girlfriend. But he has, like, he's a polygamist now. So he's got two girlfriends.
What a legend, like. Such a tank.
He's got, and they're like, yeah, and he's got two girlfriends. Oh my God, I've retweeted the promo we cut from this week's Impact. It is fantastic. Look it up on the Lobos Twitter if you haven't seen it yet. And it tells you all you need to know. And he just turns around and he's like, basically, he's like gloating about like how successful he's been. And then like, his missus comes in the middle. She's like, do you mind if I bring my friend? And then he starts like pretty much having a threesome. And it's very like, it's very attitude there. It's very excessive and in your face. But they know what they're doing. It's somehow Impact is, despite all evidence to the contrary, they can be self-aware at times. They know what they're doing and they're being like outlandish with it. And then he turns around, he's like, I know you guys have all followed me since ECW. And then one of them goes, what's ECW? And he goes, they weren't even born yet.
Oh my God.
Isn't this amazing? Can't you guys be happy for me in my amazing life?
I've got the 2001...
Just about. Quote a phrase from ECW, barely legal.
Okay.
But
he's such, like, he's just kill RVD. It's funny. It's so in your face.
Yeah.
And really funny.
Yeah.
And like, and he's also constantly bragging about how like he made wrestling. Like when you look at all the wrestlers that you see in 2020,
yeah.
Or like for example, you know, they show footage like the Rascals or something in Impact. It's like they're just using my moves. They just copied me. And I was like. he's not angry. He's just saying, you know, I just want to thank you. Yes, yeah, that's what it is. Like, because he's not angry because he's got like two girlfriends. You know,
exactly.
All over him, you know what I mean, he's
like, it's such a good gimmick because it touches on everything that like would annoy people in 2020. It's an old guy with young girls, and it's like a guy who's like, can't you? He's not being like, he's not, like you said, he's not being angry. He's just being like, can't you be happy for me? I'm living an amazing life. Thank you guys. You helped make this, and like, it's just making people like, especially Impact fans. Sorry guys, I just like, you cheered for Tessa Blanchard. Like, it's gonna make them really jealous and pissed off at him. And it's the most. If he came out and he's like, "Fuck you guys," it'd be cliche.
It'd be generic.
But he comes out and he's like, isn't this great? Good for me. It's a brilliant gimmick. He's fantastic at it. Totally revitalized. I never, same as you, never thought I'd be into RVD in 2020. This is one of my favorite things.
Yeah, he's now the one I'm like, I want to see RVD like everywhere. You know what I mean?
It's such a good heel character. It's so fresh and new.
I looked up the title. Yeah. Impact tweeted it. What do you think of the updated X Division Championship? First response, which I love, it's fine, full stop. Okay, next response, no one gives a fuck since you ruined the World Championship. Might as well give this to a woman as well.
Jesus! Whoa!
Took a turn. I was saying, like, pro women, like, how dare you give it a Tessa? But now he's like, how dare you give it to a woman?
If you're gonna go stupid, go all the way.
Oh, Impact. This is what I'm here for, though. This is why I enjoy Impact. I'm here for this shit show. That's what I want. Like, Voices of Wrestling, I think it was, put up a tweet there on Saturday night where they're like, Impact, the World Championship match is ruined. Ethan Page is wrestling and he has diarrhea. So we're all going to wonder if he's going to shit himself. And I'm like, this is what I want to see.
The roster got injured as well.
They're all injured. Like, and then there was a storm in the area, so they were like trying to book people at last minute. I'm like, this is exactly what I want from Impact.
You see, now we've got like the AEWs and we got all these other, you know, top class promotions, you know, all killing it. Again, it's the variety that makes wrestling. But the show, again, was pretty good. Eddie Edwards versus Michael Elgin is not a match that I thought about. I'll be honest, I actually didn't know what the card was besides the main event. But on paper, it's not a match I really care about or think about or, you know, look forward to. Huge. Not that they're not talented wrestlers, it's just not. Yeah, I mean, I'm just not too invested in either of them. Again, my fault. I haven't really been watching it. But, the match got me so hooked. Like, I was proper. Because, I do like Eddie Edwards. I was cheering him on, and, like, he was getting battered. Like, oh, Jeremy was like, come on, Eddie. And I was sitting there on my own in my room, like, come on, Eddie. And then, like, my man would walk in. He's like, are you all right? Yeah, it's fine. and then he ended up getting a fucking roll-up win. I'm like, yeah! But it's really good. And that'd be maybe my second favourite match of the night behind the main event. Yeah, I'll be honest with you, it's a good match.
It was.
If I'm being honest, if you can, like, take out, again, the real world and just watch it, you know, as its own thing, detached from reality, it's a match of the year contender for Impact, if I'm being honest. We're not even 2 weeks into the year, so it's not really the most prestigious award ever.
They've had, like, 4 hours of television.
but it's only a contender as well. But I'd say, like, if you look at Impact by the end of the year and look back on it, I think this will be up there. Like, I think, like, again, it's shit the way, like...
The match was fascinating. Like, I watched it for the shit show. I watched it to see what was happening. And they worked a really good match, but they're working with this backdrop. You know what I mean? Where you can't ignore it. But, like...
Isn't it shit how Tess is a really good wrestler?
But here's my one issue with it, where, like, okay, so I was watching it, and I was like, because this is me checking in with Impact. I don't really see why Tessa is that person. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I don't really get, if I wasn't watching that and I was only watching it, if the story hadn't broke, I'm like, I don't get why Tess is, no, she's a really good wrestler. She holds her own in this match. She did what she could, the best she could do with the role, and it was a really good match. So it's not criticism necessarily of her as a wrestler, but I'm like, I don't see, like, do you know the way, say, with China, when she squared up to a lad, you're like, oh, that's interesting. She could take it. Ronda Rousey goes to Triple H. You're like, she's a fucking MMA champion. She could probably beat up Triple H. You know what I mean? You instantly buy into it. When Tessa squares up, I'm like, that's a normal women's wrestler. Like, that's fine. Like,
you're saying she can't... You don't buy into
it. It's not that. It's that in the story... in the story that they're trying...
Did you mention who sent that... recent tweet I read out.
But no, in the story that they're trying to tell, like, it's like, I don't see what makes, like the whole point of it is that she's special. She's the, making history. She's the first person to do this. There's no kind of, like, it didn't grab me in the match why Tessa was that person.
I think if you watched from the start of the feud, you'd probably say differently. Because I think it wasn't just, like, they plucked her out of thin air. Like, it was a natural storyline, like, with Roots, where they did hate each other. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't just, like,
okay,
like, oh, we're going to pick her to be him. It was a very good story that goes back, like, months, like, back before, like, Slammiversary and stuff.
Yeah.
So
It struck me as the promotion that has the one girl working there, and once, I know that she's not, like, they have Jordan Grace and they have, like, loads of great wrestlers, but, like, it struck me as the promotion that has the one girl working there, so they're going to do a stunt and give her the best, you know what I mean?
No, that's rather not than, that, definitely.
Rather than, like, but that's the way it struck me, because I'm like, I'm not seeing why you're in that role, why you're the world champion, you know what I mean? I'm not judging you as a woman's world champion. I'm like, if I'm judging this objectively, I don't see why you're the best wrestler in the company. You get me?
I kind of like that it's her, though, because, like, you mentioned China, and China is, like, very physically, obviously, you know, big and strong and muscular. Like, I think this just opens the door now for it to completely normalize just normal female wrestlers wrestling men. Like, think about when Daniel Bryan won the world title. He normalized it for smaller lads to win the world title and it not to be a novelty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if you weren't there for the rest of the Daniel Bryan feud, then you might look at it as a bit random. It's like, why is he the guy? Why is everyone cheering him? So yeah, maybe that's just me coming in late, and I fully admit that. Yeah, that's
she would be one of the bigger names, though, as well, out of the women, though, wouldn't she? Like, she's got a really solid indie name. Like,
Tessa Blanchard, you mean, like, star power wise? Like, yeah, she's like, I was thinking this the other day, like, I was thinking about, you know, I was thinking about Allison Kane. I was like, is she, like, the biggest name, like, that OTT could bring in, like, out of, like, all the female wrestlers, like, in whatever, like, independent wrestling? But yeah, I think Tessa Blanchard would probably be, like, the biggest out of, like, yeah. I know
biggest unsigned one, definitely, I think, yeah.
Yeah,
well, she's her or Jordan, I think it'd be a toss up between.
Yeah.
But it's signed to Impact, I don't know.
Wait, yeah,
well, you know what I mean. I don't know why I don't care to sign to Impact as signed. I don't know why. I'm sorry.
They barely paid their wrestlers. That's why. But yeah, no. Okay, maybe it was just me. It was a really good match, though. I agree.
Yeah, and that was kind of it. I just really enjoyed it.
Okay. In at number one, it was a really strong Sunday, because, like, this was just a few hours before that Hard to Kill pay-per-view. NXT UK TakeOver. First off, I want to give a shout-out to Prime Target. This is Sean Ryan's. WWE are giving Sean Ryan a half-hour documentary every few months, and he just does a half-hour Sean Ryan video, and it's fantastic. It makes you care so much. This nearly made me cry in the middle of a Prime Target. I'm not messing. They did a really good job building up the women's feud, and, like, it's a great story, because it's like, we're all friends when we got signed, then Kaylee turned on Tony, and then she's gone off and won the belt and had all her success, and that's ripping us apart. But, like, I'm the one that's caught in the middle, Piper Niven saying, I'm the one that's caught in the middle, and I just want us to all get back together, but we also want to win the belt. So, like, it's just kind of like a friendship coming apart at the seams, and then the match told the story, and it was really good when you had that kind of preamble in your head of what the story they're trying to tell. But there was one moment where this was a real moment that they just happened to be filming for. She just started talking about Lionheart in it, and she just started talking, and it was real. It was her talking about her friend, and she's just like, you know, he would have loved this. He would have loved if he was here. And they show pictures of him, and they show pictures of him and her, and real pictures of them, like, going out in the real world. It wasn't staged or anything like that. It was just stuff they snapped on their phones, like. And then she goes, like, I'd love to see this. I'd love to see what we've built and what we have, like, and I wish I could be with my friends, like, at this time now. And it was real, and she got emotional, and then it's like, holy fucking shit, I'm feeling real feelings here, like, fuck, they've got me here. It's fantastic, and oh my god, like, oh, we're gonna get a Jordan Walter, like, Sean Ryan WWE video. So we're gonna get, like, they are his muses, arguably. Do you know what I mean? Jordan and Walter. Like, they brought out some of his best work. We're gonna get that. Now, consider what he did that, like, on a shoestring for OTT. Consider what he did with that. He has access to all of the WWE tape library now. He has all the resources that he needs to sell. He has money. He has funding. He's equipment. Oh my god, like, Sean Ryan is possibly the biggest asset in NXT UK, because watching this documentary beforehand, I knew all of the storylines and I cared about everything, having not watched a minute of TV and building up to this. It was fantastic. And the show paid off. The women's match, like we said, I thought was really, really good. I turned around on Twitter and I was like, that's the best match in WWE this year. Again, it's only a couple of weeks old, but like still, it's the best match in WWE this year. The next match, however, then quickly outdid it. Jordan Devlin against Tyler Bate. Still can't really get over the fact that they still do shit Finn Balor chance. For Jordan, it's like, lads, think of something new. Like, he's the best you have in NXT UK right now. Legitimately, by far, the best performer every single week. And this was his coming out party. Have you heard that Angel Garza is going to be defending the Cruiserweight belt in a four-way at When Worlds Collide?
No.
Yeah, it was just announced today. It's a four-way, so there's two from NXT. They're going to have a triple threat match tonight with three from NXT to decide who the other NXT competitor is. Then there's two from NXT UK that are going to be in that match.
All right.
Fighting on, like, a Saturday night before the Rumble show, like an NXT TakeOver spot on the network in a big spot. I think Jordan, like, who else is it going to be if it's not Jordan in one of those spots? Because he's not in any of these, like, crossover feuds that they're building.
Yeah, yeah.
Jordan's going to be in this, like, he has to be. And, like, this was his coming out party. This was for him what Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate was on when they had that match on NXT a while back.
Actually, he won it.
Yeah. It was the only thing. Because I'm like, yeah, Jordan, I see what they're doing. The whole match, I was like, I see what they're doing. They're showing how class Jordan is. And this is going to turn him face. Then that's going to have him go against Walter. And then this is all coming together. Like, because they don't have much of a main event scene in NXT UK. So, like, whoever wins this is the de facto number one contender. And we've seen Tyler and Walter before. So there's no need to go back to that well. So this is what's happening. And then Tyler just ended up winning. It was a bit flat. It was a bit disappointing, but everyone, like, this got the world raving, and now the world knows what we've known for a long ass time about Jordan. It was fantastic. Like, we've seen him be class and charismatic on the show, but we haven't had him had that defining match in WWE yet. You know, the Balor match was great, but that was a moment as much as anything, because it was the two of them staring across from each other. We were all like, right, I'm in. You know what I mean? But this was a match where it's like, if you didn't know these guys, if you're just watching because there's a takeover on, and you're like, I'll check out this NXT UK shit, you left this thinking, Jordan Devlin is fucking amazing. And then, yeah, like, the tag team ladder match was really fun as well. A lot of creative spots. There was one really funny spot in it as well where they had a normal size ladder, and then they had Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews climb to the top. And even on the top step, like, the belts were too high. And I'm like, that's discrimination. That's that's not fair on them. Like, they shouldn't need a higher ladder because everyone else could reach it. Like, Gallus ended up winning. That wasn't mad about the result, but whatever. I'll go along with it. I just can't buy into Gallus that much. I was here for Imperium. The main event was grand. We've spoken about it already. But at the afters is what we have to talk about. Undisputed Era invaded. Everyone somehow forgot that Worlds Collide was a thing. And then they invaded and beat the shit out of Imperium. So it looks like whatever works out, we're going to get like an Undisputed Era versus Imperium feud heading into that. Whether it's like a big 8-man tag or whether it's like Walter against Cole. And I'd say they'll probably go the 8-man tag route to protect everyone, because you don't want either of those losing.
Not to be negative, but what do you think about them making Walter look like a bitch?
So weird, the ending, I thought.
Okay.
Like, because of that, and because, like, Undisputed Era got cheered so much, and I'm just like, these are just Americans who've come in and conquered, like, the end of the match, the end of the show. Like, this is a British takeover, and it's the Americans that are standing tall at the end, like, and they're being cheered for it. I don't know. I just found it really weird.
I didn't think Walter looked like a bitch. He, like, there was four of them surrounding him, and he's like, come on, come at me. And then, like, he just, like, started, like, fucking side-fisting people away, and it took the four of them to take him down. That's what I took from it.
Yeah, I suppose.
But a lot of people are saying that.
Someone said on Twitter, and I kind of agree, it's like his aura is kind of dead on NXT. I don't really feel, like, Walter just feels like another lad to me now. I don't feel it, like.
I think there's two sides to this. I think there's people who know Walter from before NXT UK who are a bit disappointed. But then you see, you see completely split things. It's like the women's match. You see completely split opinions on Twitter based on this. because then there's people who are coming to Walter fresh and they're only see and they get it straight away and they're seeing him like, oh my god, he's fucking unreal, like, and they're kind of living that Walter experience, whereas we're seeing what it's not. But I think they're just seeing it fresh. And they're like, he is dominant, but in his own way. He's not the monster that could beat everyone, though. Do you know what I mean?
But he also, like, I know this isn't the show that we're talking about, but he also, like, lost in 3 minutes of Survivor Series and stuff.
Yeah,
you know
that's
I mean?
That's not great. Like, yeah, there's no two ways around it.
I just feel like they've kind of, I don't like saying, oh, they've like, buried, or whatever, you know what I mean? But, like, I just feel like Walter's a bit dead in NXT. That's just, like... That's what I feel, but I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Like, but I feel like Undisputed Era winning.
They could, and it's tough to argue with that, though, because they're the headliners of the USA show. Same with Survivor Series. Like, Walter would have never won that match, and him being in that match alone as an NXT UK guy is a thing. Whereas, like, bring him up on WWE. Like, if he's in a Rumble, and he has a moment where he steps to Brock Lesnar...
Oh, no, nah, they won't do that, though. Cause that's, like,
but if he does...
But if they did,
if
though.
He does, like, if not now, then a year from now, then we're like, I'm back in. You know, but WWE do this shit all the time.
But if they did, Brock Lesnar would probably just fuck him out. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just kind of... I don't know. I just, like...
See, it's the problem with NXT being... I saw it described as WWE League 2. it's a great way of describing it. Yeah. It's a problem with NXT UK being that where... Yes, if he stepped with Brock Lesnar, they'd have to have Brock Lesnar stand tall because... But what I'm saying with WWE is they do this all the time where someone, like, goes into obscurity for a while and then they just do something with them and then they're right back where they were. Becky Lynch benefited from this. She was in mid-card obscurity and then she just turned on Charlotte and then she's the biggest star in wrestling. Balor, stale as fucking WWE. We didn't even care when Wyatt just destroyed him as the Fiend. And then he comes back 2 months later, bicycle kicks Johnny Gargano, hottest thing in wrestling again.
The Fiend,
you know?
Is a great example. That as yeah. well, you know what I mean? No, I agree with that fully. I feel like there's no one that's ever unable to be, you know, brought, like, no, nobody whose momentum is like permanently dead.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But yeah, just right now I'm just not feeling it.
I get that. I feel
Walter that. In the Rumble though. Oh, you just that is a thought.
Him
though.
Stepping the Brock like just.
I
once.
Mean, I think the outcome would be bad, but in just in the moment it'd be killed.
That
like,
one,
is like,
that
you know
one
I mean?
Square up pose. Yeah, like, yeah
it'd
amazing.
Be like when Dom Tuck squared up to Liam Royal for that one split second. It was really cool in the moment. It just didn't last very long.
And if you haven't seen that, guys, that brings us on nicely to Fight Factory episode 12, now available on Low Blows VOD. Check it out. A huge 6-man tag for all the belts on the line. Irish Junior Heavyweight and Irish Tag Team Championships on the line. A late match of the year contender. A lot of people saying it's the best 6-man tag we've ever had in Ireland. A lot of people like, it's one of those matches where you're like, oh my god, is this like, did I enjoy that better than like Walter Devlin and stuff? Like, it makes you feel, I'm not saying it is better, I'm saying it makes you feel those feelings. Check it out, it's absolutely fantastic. Katie Harvey, of course, Queen versus Queen against Debbie Keitel. The Woke Queen against the Original Queen. And then you have the Midgard Mafia against Liam Royal. You have a Project Next Gen against Old School NWA. Absolutely fantastic top to bottom show of Fight Factory. We spoke about it a few weeks ago, so check that out. Also, the Royal Rumble we announced today. A bit of information about what's coming up at the Rumble. From 8 p.m. in Buskers, ticket table seats are pretty much sold out. They're going to be sold out probably a week out beforehand. General admission will still be available though up to the day, so don't worry, you will still get access. Do join us though. We do the best Royal Rumble party in the world. Always gets people talking. Last year, over a million hits for us celebrating Becky's win, featured on Sports Illustrated. Even from the first party where your man like ripped off his shirt for The Rock and CM Punk, people have been talking about our Royal Rumble parties. It is a once it is it, like it, it they're always great. They always get people talking, always a highlight of the year. So join us here in Buskers. Tickets still available, eventbrite.ie. we announced today the Royal Rumble raffle will be back. There's going to be two raffles. Pick a number out of a hat between 1 and 30 at random. If that number wins, you win 2 tickets to our WrestleMania party. You also get a table and you get booze at the WrestleMania party, so that is a bit of a treat. I can also exclusively reveal we're talking, we're just waiting on full confirmation, but it's looking 99% likely we're going to do a Here Comes the Pain Royal Rumble match on the big screen. You guys, 30 of you guys.
Oh! Oh! You mean the actual game? I didn't know what you meant at first. I was like, oh.
SmackDown Here Comes the Pain.
Is that a name for the pool? What was he saying? And I was like, oh! Oh!
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh! Yeah. I really want to do that. I don't think you're going to sign. I love that game.
There's 30 spots. There's a good chance you're going to get pulled out of hat.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. So we're going to be doing that. The Pool Rumble will be back as well. So you're going to get a free drink and a chance to face the Low Blows Pool Champion Butch at WrestleMania as well. So get involved in that. Always a hit. I'm going to be revealing the Wokeen's challengers for the Low Blows Pool Championship. Hopefully next week. We're still working out some stuff. Guys, how are you feeling? It's been a while. Is the chemistry a bit damaged? Or
do we have a tag team name?
You're the Wokeen's.
There you go then.
Can we change that?
For 2020? That's the chemistry. It's in the team name.
You need to get like matching gear and stuff like that now. You need to work on all that kind of stuff. You need to like kind of get like catchphrases and stuff.
Do you have a catchphrase?
Like the
testing, testing.
That's not our catchphrase. We can run that straight away. We'll figure it out.
All right, we got a week and a bit still to go, guys, and then of course the Rumble, all live and in full. The two Rumble matches: Becky Asuka, The Fiend against Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns against Baron Corbin. So you have time to piss, and loads more. We'll stay tuned to our Facebook. We'll still be making announcements right up today. It's going to be absolutely jammed, guys. You're going to want to be there. But in the meantime, Katie, is it this weekend you're fighting for a title?
No, it's next weekend. I made a mistake. This weekend I am going on a football weekender.
Okay.
To Manchester to see City versus Crystal Palace.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm doing. I thought I was going to Belgium this weekend. I'm not.
I was just thinking who are City playing, and I was like, is he in the big Palace. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's the early game, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so that's going to be an all day.
What are you going to do if, like, fucking James McCarthy bangs in a hat-trick and Crystal Palace beat City 3-0?
Who's James McCarthy?
He's a Crystal Palace player. Isn't he, like, he's one of the best players in the league, basically.
Why are we plugging Man City Crystal Palace?
But you know what? We did put out the dates for the next two Fight Factory shows. Tickets aren't on sale yet, but they will be on sale very soon. February 9th and March 8th.
Yeah, to get in, we've got some really, really cool stuff lined up, guys. So we'll start making announcements over the next few weeks. Stay tuned for that, Corporate Keen. How are things in YouTube land? Are you still preparing a new series?
Feeling good when it comes to YouTube and stuff. There'll be a video out next week. Definitely.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good. So any spoilers or teasers or?
I'm gonna make it possibly an annual thing, maybe to do World Rumble predictions.
Okay.
So that's what this is gonna be anyway.
Okay, excellent. Can't wait. Subscribe to Corporate Keen on YouTube. Guys, that's all the show we have. It's nearly an hour 40, though, so you got a bumper edition of Low Blows. Back with us, Low Blows, on Friday, and back with the main show and our big Royal Rumble preview next week. But until then, for Corporate Keen, for Katie Harvey, I've been Rick Nash, and that's the bottom line, because Low Blows said so.